Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
How are you doing? Good morning. I'm really excited to be able to share with you this morning. And it's good for you too, because there will be no references to football this morning in my message. That's something we can all celebrate. And the other thing is, because Jonathan's not speaking, there's going to be no bad dad jokes. So all round, it's a win-win before I even say anything. We're all good. It's a good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Marianne, and I'm a part of the staff team here at Seeds, and with my husband Grant and our two teenage daughters, have been attending this church family for 21 years. It's been a great church family too. I'm going to share with you a story this morning, and it's a story about my childhood, and one that I haven't actually shared publicly here before, not because it's a secret, or, you know, that I haven't wanted to. There just really hasn't been, I guess, the opportunity or the need to. But I really feel this morning that God has placed a message on my heart for us as a church. And so now is the time to share it. So I'm just going to ask before I do that we have a word of prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come, to simply come this morning and hear from you. And I pray, Father, that for every one of us, that we would draw near, that we would lean in to hear from you this morning. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear from you this morning. Father, that as a result of this hour that we spend here, God, that we would be changed, that we would have met with you. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to work in this service this morning and to have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was born in England and I came to Australia when I was 18 months old with my family. So that may explain a few of my quirky habits and my love of a cup of tea. But we were 18 months old, so my mum and dad, I have an older sister who's 4 years older and a brother who's 2 years older. And a lot of you know that I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. So as far as I can remember, life for us was very normal. Mum and Dad both worked full-time, which I guess was a little unusual in those days, but it was a very normal childhood until I was about 12 years old when there was a knock on my bedroom door about 3 o'clock in the morning and there was a police officer standing there asking if I was okay and whether I'd heard anything. I was fine, and none of us kids had heard anything, but we later found out that my mum had been taken to hospital and my dad had been taken away by police for attempted murder. This went on for a couple of years of just the confusion of trying to work out and understand what had happened. Mum had dropped the charges, and but there was a restraining order in place with my dad. He wasn't allowed near us kids, he wasn't allowed near mum, and he wasn't allowed near our house. But we'd have many times where, you know, we'd get home from school and find that dad was there. And so we didn't know whether we should tell mum or whether we should make it a secret. There'd be other times that we would come home from school, he wouldn't be there, that there'd be evidence that he'd been in the house. And there was one time in particular I remember really clearly of going into our bathroom and finding our bathroom mirror just splattered with blood. And later that day being picked up by a family friend to visit Dad in hospital with bandages around his wrists and a bandage around his chest. There ended up being quite a few visits like that. One night, about 2 years after the initial incident, I was home on my own. I was about 14 years old and the phone rang and it was Dad. And he was ringing to say that he loved us and ringing to say if I could tell my older sister that he was sorry. I didn't really understand the conversation, but I rang Mum and she came home and she rang the police. And they found my dad's body the next morning in his car. Now, at first, when I heard he'd taken his life, there was actually a bit of a sense of relief, because as a family, we'd lived in fear that Dad was going to do something, not just to Mum again, but to all of us kids. So there was a sense of being free from that. But then there was an anger that rose up within me. I was so angry at my dad. I was angry that he had, in a sense, stolen my childhood. I was angry that he didn't give any consideration to the impact that what happened to him would have on the rest of us as a family. Now, when he died, just before he died, he left us with nothing. He cancelled all his life insurance. So instead of being provided for financially, we had debt. My mum went into hospital for almost a year to help with the emotional trauma after he died. My older sister moved away. She was 18. She went and lived in Western Australia. My older brother, 16, he left home. And so there was my twin brother and I at 14. And initially, we were looked after by different family friends, but then eventually settled with a family, a close family of ours, who took us in and we became a part of their family. So life was tough after he died. It was tough financially and it was tough emotionally. But that's my story. You know, like each of us have a story, and if I was going to ask you this morning who's been hurt, who's had pain, I reckon pretty much every one of us would put a hand up. Now, sometimes it can be simple as a misunderstanding or a breakdown in communication that drives a wedge between two people that ends up lasting for years. Sometimes it's an outright betrayal, or someone does something intentional and cruel. Someone may have taken advantage of you, lied to you. A spouse may have abused you. A parent may have abandoned you. A friend may have rejected you. Or maybe your children don't talk to you. Now, you may be angry with someone like me who's no longer living. Maybe you're angry at God because your life hasn't turned out the way that you thought it should. Maybe you're angry at yourself and find it hard to forgive some of the things that you may have done. Now, it was shortly into my Christian journey that I realised I had a problem. Because I became a Christian just after my dad died. I'm from a non-Christian family, and I was at school in year 10, and this girl invited me to a youth group camp. Can I just say, don't ever underestimate the power of an invitation. Because that invitation changed my life. And you know, we have Alpha starting tomorrow night. It's not too late to invite someone so they can hear the message of Jesus. You know, the problem I'm talking about when I became a Christian is I was hearing all these messages about love and forgiveness, and that if we were to model Jesus, you know, we're going to do the same. And I thought, well, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to forgive my dad. Now, even if I wanted to, I actually don't know how I would do it. And I know that anger is a normal part of grief. It's a cycle we go through, but when we get stuck in that angry phase, it becomes a bitterness. And that's not healthy for any of us. I mean, you may know people like that. Maybe you're like that. You know, the bitterness that I felt and that unresolved hurt, that anger that I was holding on to, it actually was affecting my life. You know, in fact, the Bible talks about this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and I won't get you to look it up now, but it'll be in the screen behind me. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, God is actually saying to us that it's in our best interest to forgive. It's not in the best interest of the person who needs to be forgiven. You know, it's our best interest to forgive. Even if they're not sorry, even if they don't think they've done anything wrong, forgiveness is actually about us. It's not about them. Now, we're the ones that God is trying to protect. He knows that if I'm going to live my life out of a bitter spirit, then I'm going to have trouble. I learned that God is very clear about forgiveness. Now, he's given us specific direction in numerous scriptures, all of which can be summed up in one word, and that's forgive. And I knew that it was in his word. I knew that if this was something that God was asking us to do, then I knew it was for my best interest, and I also knew that it must be possible. God doesn't ask us to do things that are impossible. He gives us the power to do it. And if I want you to remember one thing this morning, just one thing, not my story, not what I was wearing, not that the weather's overcast, and I want you to remember this morning that it's possible to forgive. Even the deepest hurt, the deepest betrayal is possible to forgive. And when I talk about forgiveness this morning, I'm not talking about forgetting. I'm not saying that what happened to you isn't important. It's not meaning reconciliation. Sometimes that's not possible. And it's not saying staying in a relationship that's unhealthy or an environment that's unsafe or unhealthy. I'm talking about being free. You know, free from the burden of pain, of unforgiveness. You know, God's love for us is beyond our comprehension. And he doesn't want anything to get in the way of our relationship with him. So how do we forgive? You know, for a lot of us, we probably know it's the right thing to do. Some of us know we should, but I think probably some of us don't actually know how to do it. Now, we've just celebrated Easter and been reminded of that beautiful example of Jesus on the cross when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I want to read that verse out to you. It's in Luke chapter 23, verse 32, and you can turn to your Bibles if you've got them with you, or it'll be on the screen behind me. So Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You know, in the midst of his hurt, the insults, the mockery, the physical pain, the betrayal, the humiliation and the shame, he forgave. And I think from that example, there are three things that we can learn that were going to help us get unstuck and help us to forgive. You know, the first thing that Jesus did that I think we can learn from is that he made a decision. He actually made a decision right there and then in the midst of what he was going through to forgive. You know, at some point we have a choice. You know, we can hold on to a grudge or we can choose to let it go. Now, we can hold on to the anger. We can let the bitterness dwell up within us. We can be defined by someone who's angry and bitter, someone who has no joy. I mean, we know people like that. I mean, maybe you're like that. But it's a choice at some point, isn't it? It's a choice even when we don't feel like it. I mean, have you ever had an argument with someone that you live with that has done something to you and you're cross at them? I'm sure most of us have. I mean, I've been married for 28 years. I've never had an argument with my husband. We get along really well. He's not here this morning, but say an example. Say Grant does something that's annoyed me. One way that I will punish him is I won't talk to him. So you talk to anyone else in the house. If you have kids, you talk to your children. In fact, you don't just talk to them. You're actually over-the-top affectionate and happy. Okay, you make a big effort, but you don't talk to your husband because he's the one that's offended you and upset you. If you don't have kids, maybe you have animals. You might have a dog or a cat, and you go up to that dog and that cat and you pat it and you just give it lots of affection and you talk to it and you tell them about your day, but you don't talk to your husband because it is one that has offended you. If you don't have kids, you don't have pets, maybe you'll whistle or sing. Sing is a good one, but you don't talk to them. I mean, that can last for a while, can't it? But at some point, someone has to say, okay, I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to choose to let this go. You know, we have a choice to let go of the grudge that we may hold against someone in our family, at work, or at church. You know, The feelings that we feel when we feel unforgiveness or hold a grudge, sometimes they need time to catch up with our decision to forgive. But your feelings are not the real you, remember? They're fickle. And you can feel 1,001 different things for the same person or the same thing. I mean, you can love someone 1 minute and hate them the next. In fact, there is a song at the moment on the radio, "I hate you, I love you, I hate you, I love you." Feelings, they're not to be trusted, they're fickle. But remember, your will and your decision that you make to forgive gives you the ability to actually live beyond your feelings. And I've found that the right actions will often trigger the right feelings. It's actually not the other way around. Honestly, if you wait for the desire to feel a certain way about something, you could be waiting a long time. Sometimes we need to act first. You know, the second thing that Jesus did that I think we can learn to help us forgive and let go is the second thing is that he devoted himself to prayer. He devoted. He prayed for his enemies. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about praying for our enemies. In Luke 6:28, it says, "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you." God is asking us to pray for our enemies. Now, already I know some of you are thinking, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for my enemies. I'll pray that they lose their job. I'll pray that their kids are right off. I'll pray all sorts of things." I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about blessing our enemies. I mean, it's countercultural though, isn't it, in every way? I mean, our world says, society says, if someone steals from you, you steal from them. If someone hurts you, you hurt them. If someone lies about you, you lie about them. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Listen to Matthew 5:23. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy." And that's what our world says. But Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So does someone hurt you? Pray for them. Does someone lie about you? Pray for them. Does someone take advantage of you? Well, pray for them. Has someone hurt someone that you love and you have taken on that offence? Pray for them. You know, start by doing the right thing and pray for those who hurt you. You know, prayer won't change them, but I guarantee you that prayer will change you. You know, it's very hard to pray for someone for a blessing when you continue to have anger in your heart. It changes your heart over time. God does a work in that. Now, the third thing I think that we can learn from Jesus' example of how he forgave is that he delivered. He delivered grace and mercy, love, kindness, compassion, and true forgiveness. Even in his moment of greatest pain. You know, and we can do the same. Now, when we truly forgive someone, we cancel their debt. Because, you know, when someone hurts us, it's like they owe us something. And it's like they need to pay us back for the pain that they've caused. In fact, in the Bible, there's a story about unforgiveness that Jesus tells, and it's about a master and a servant. And this servant owes this master this massive amount of money and can't possibly pay it. And he goes to the master and he pleads for forgiveness and mercy and says, "Please, no, I beg for mercy." And, you know, the master has compassion on him and says, "Yep, that's fine. I'm going to write off your debt. You do not owe me anything. I cancel your debt." So he walks away and actually sees one of his servants who owes him money. And so he says to his servant, "You know, you owe me money. You need to pay everything back," which is strange, isn't it? Because he's just received this amazing gift of grace, yet he's not extending that to this other person. But he says, "You owe me." And this person says, "Please, I beg you for mercy. I can't possibly pay it back." But he has no compassion and throws him in jail until every cent can be paid. You know what Jesus says about that? "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And I kind of think, you know, if we're expecting God to forgive us for the things that we've done, well, who am I to not extend that act of grace and forgiveness to others? In fact, you know, I've got an example of just a story a couple of weeks ago, my pea plater 18-year-old daughter, Jamie, who I have permission to share the story, but she was running late for an appointment, and she was driving out of our driveway and in a hurry, and basically straddled our car in the middle of a retaining wall. Nowhere near the driveway, it really could have gone either way, but it was stuck, and she runs in this mad panic. I've got to go, and my car's stuck in the butt. I didn't understand what she was saying, and so I said, look, don't worry about it, Grant wasn't home. I said, just take my car, okay, we'll fix it later. Take my car, you go, I didn't need it. Anyway, as I was walking back into the house, I heard this noise that was almost like she'd hit my car. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My car is red, her car is white. Her car's stuck in this retaining wall. My red car's gone because she didn't stop because it was really important, the thing that she had on. But I look at her white car and I see a big stripe of red on the side. And I'm like, right, she's hit my car. So I decided, anyway, that I was going to forgive her. I delivered forgiveness. I was one of those, I gave the talk, you know, maybe next time, there's things we can learn from this, but look, don't worry about it, you're forgiven, it's fine. But later that night, I found myself saying to her, you know, because you hit my car, you can make me a cup of tea. And because you hit my car, you can actually cook dinner. And I was about to do the third one, because you hit my car, you can do all the dishes, when I realised I actually haven't forgiven you. If you still owe me all the time, if I'm still saying you owe me, then that's not real forgiveness. True forgiveness is cancelling the debt and saying you don't owe me anything. Now, Jesus paid our debt on the cross. I didn't deserve it. I can't repay it. It's a gift of grace that he gives to all of us. And if we want to be like him and follow his example, then we must cancel people's debt from owing us anything. You know, part of this process for you in this delivery may be that you go to someone and you speak to them and you say, I forgive you. That sometimes that's not possible, sometimes it's not appropriate. You may write a letter. You may send that letter, you may not send the letter. You may just be on your own, and you may speak out those words of healing and deliverance and forgiveness. Sometimes this delivery step is a process. You know, sometimes we lay stuff down at the foot of the cross and we walk away and we say, I'm not taking that anymore. I'm giving this to Jesus. And then we might see someone, we might hear a song, or we might be somewhere and it all rises back up again. But that's when we just need to lay it down at the foot of the cross. We need to walk away and we need to say, I'm not taking this on. And getting back to my story, for me, God performed a miracle in my heart. And, you know, I knew that it was in my best interest to forgive my dad. I knew it was because, first of all, it was hurting me deeply and hurting the people that I loved. Now, so I got to a point where I made the decision that I was going to forgive. I wasn't going to hold on to it anymore. And then I devoted myself to prayer. I prayed that God would give me the grace and the strength to utter the words that I knew I needed to say. And I prayed not so much for my dad, like praying for our enemies, but I prayed to God about my dad. I thanked him for who he was, for giving me life. I thanked him for his sense of humour. I thanked God for the way that he would bring our family together in the mornings. And then I delivered. I remember standing in my lounge room, I was on my own, and I stood up and I confessed it out loud, that I forgive you, Dad. I love you and I cancel the debt. You don't owe me anything. And can I tell you that God performed a miracle in my heart? The moment I said those words, I was set free. You know, I didn't think I could ever be free from the pain and the bitterness that I felt. And I felt like it was unfair that I had to be the one to forgive when I've been hurt. Why should I forgive? But I knew it was in God's best interest for me to do that. And I want to remind you again this morning, forgiveness is always possible. And if you choose to forgive, it won't change your past. It never will. but I guarantee you it will change your future and it will set you free. It will release you from anger and give you the healing that you need. It will open you up to receiving and hearing more from God. It will spare you the life of the consequences of living that life with a bitter spirit. Now, on that day when I forgave my dad, God set a prisoner free. And that prisoner was me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the miracle of grace that you give to us. Father, I thank you that you provide a way for us to do what seems impossible. And I pray this morning for those of us here who are sitting on grudges, finding it hard to let go, finding it hard to forgive, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move in us this morning, that you would speak to us, and that you would give us the power and the grace. Father, we invite you right now, Father, to move and to have your way and to work in our hearts. I pray, Lord Jesus, that no one would leave here this morning with unresolved bitterness or hurt. God, that we would have the bravery and the boldness to come and to ask God for you to move in us this morning. And I thank you, God, that you want to do that with us. Have your way, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.